Hello and welcome back. This is the third module of today's Jumpstart on Azure Rights Management. In this module, we're going to be taking a look at protecting the files that your users are going to be using and sharing with other people. So we're going to take a look specifically at what you can protect and how you can protect it. We're going to have a look at some workflows for protection, and then we're going to have a quick look at some of the industry-specific use cases like CAD and a few other things that we can put into place with Azure Rights Management as well, using some of the partners that are out there that build solutions that leverage the Azure Rights Management SDKs. So starting us off, Carol, how do we think about what can be protected and how we can protect it?
So we've mentioned this previously, but I think now is a good time to look at it in a bit more detail. We've actually got two different levels of protection. We've got what we call native protection. So this is what most people think about rights management previously, that it's things like Office files, for example, that just understand RMS. And in fact, we usually refer to them as an RMS enlightened applications. So that gives you the encryption, it gives you the authentication, but most importantly, it gives you the usage rights, which can be enforced. So that's why we refer to them as the RMS Enlighten app. So typically the Office files, but we've also got the PDF and image files. And in fact, any apps from vendors who have used our SDKs as well can be RMS Enlightened apps. And they all give the native protection with the usage restrictions on them. But we've also got the generic protection. So this is what some people aren't aware of if they haven't been keeping up with the fast pace of this team, that we can now protect any file. And this is really important. This is also the P file that Dan was talking about. Yeah. We can do this wrapper that he was talking about, which is like the WinZip type wrapper, that if you have an application which doesn't understand RMS, we can still wrap it with authentication and encryption. The other person still needs to be authenticated in order to actually access it. But at that point, we then can't enforce any of the restrictions that you might normally want to do on something like an Office file. And that's a great way of saying, okay, I can actually now protect all my files, not just my Office files or any of my other RMS Enlightened applications.
So what are some of the example rights that we could put in place around a particular file? We see when we look very briefly there at activating RMS, it gave us a couple of default templates, one for confidential and one for view only. So we can presumably put in place protections against people being able to do certain things.
Yeah, the really nice thing about Azure RMS is that you get these default templates right out of the box. There's nothing for you to do there. You can just get going straight away. What those templates do, they restrict rights to all users in your company straight away. So the most typical thing you want to do is either just view only or just give everyone in your company rights, but no one outside your company automatically will be allowed to have access to them. So very typically, you might want to say, okay, I want to protect this document to say only people in my organization can read it, so like a strategy paper, something like that. So it then gets emailed off to your friend or someone else in another company, they can't open it. So that's a great example of, say, using your company confidential type templates. View only is a very simple one that most people understand. There's a great difference. There's a lot of granularity that you can apply, but most people typically get off the bat what a view only means. So you might want to send a price list to someone, for example, so they want to be able to read it, but you definitely don't want them to be able to change it. Mm-hmm. Expiry is actually not a usage right, but it's actually an additional restriction. You can say, I want this document to be available, but only for 2 months or 30 days. There's a couple of good scenarios around that. So for example, if you're on a project with a fixed date, that could be a good time to actually set an expiry date on those documents. And we also have what sometimes we jokingly refer to as remote kill rather than revocation. Revocation is such a boring word. But everyone gets remote kill because basically it means you sent out this document and now you just don't want anyone else to have access to it. And there's a couple of other scenarios. I think Dan gave the example of a price list again when he said, I want to update it. I want to make sure people aren't using the old version. But there's other scenarios when you can use that as well. For example, if you see some suspicious activity on a file and you say, I'm not quite sure what's going on with this file that I shared, I just want to stop all access to it right now. And that's another example of having restrictions on the file which we can set.
And I think the remote kill thing is a really, really useful feature, because we've probably all been in that situation where we've created something that we've put into a document and then we've actually gone back and thought, that maybe wasn't the best idea to have that in there. maybe you've forgotten to proofread the document, forgotten to spell check it before you've actually sent it out. This means that you can actually send out a remote killer revocation to actually stop anybody from accessing the document again before you've been back and had the opportunity to correct everything, which can be an incredibly useful thing to have, not just for reasons of protecting the information that's in the file, but also for protecting your own reputation internally as well. So there's a few kind of places where we might want to think about using the different ways that sharing can and protection can come into play.
Right, so some example workflows we've got down here is that very typical one, you want to send a confidential file with someone outside your organization. Now, this has been really tricky in the past because you'd had to set up a very specific trust, like a one-to-one trust with another company. Of course, in the cloud, it's much easier. You don't have to set that up. We've kind of set up that that authorization brokering for you. So that's a very typical scenario where you share protected. You might want to save a file that has sensitive information in there, cloud storage. You know, maybe it's got credit card information, something like that in there. You protect that particular file in place. We talked about before, protect files with SharePoint. It's very seamless for the user. As an administrator, you just set that option on for enabling IRM, and then all your files are then up just protected in there. And Dan gave some great examples of how you'd actually use that. We also talked about credit cards, but another way of protecting things which are sensitive information is if you have something that actually is smart enough to say, I'm going to inspect this file, and I can see you've got sensitive information in there, so I'm automatically going to protect it for you. And that's what the file classification infrastructure can do, and I believe you're going to talk about that a little bit later as well.
Yeah, I actually, file classification infrastructure is one of the areas that I kind of like, because being an old school file server admin, it was one of those things that was always very difficult to actually understand what my users were doing on those file servers and what was going on. So there's a few different ways that we can use FCI file classification infrastructure in order to classify and then protect files in on-premises file server environments. But we've also got a number of abilities around being able to protect document as it moves through email flows as well. So
right.
Not only the documents, but actually the emails as well can be protected, which can be incredibly useful. Generally, that comes under the moniker of DLP, data loss prevention type scenarios. So just to walk through a couple of those workflows. This one is a workflow which we'll show you these in a demo in a couple of moments' time as well, or at least one of these. So this is the idea that when you are actually about to send that document to somebody, what you might do inside of Outlook is you've written your email, you've attached your file, but then you consciously think, I need to be protecting this document. I need to share this in a protected way. So you click the Share Protected button, which is added into Outlook by the RMS sharing application, at which point it generates the UI for the sharing application, and the file that's going to be attached to the email will be protected by Azure Rights Management. And then you'll start to see that inside of that UI, you'll have the ability to say which particular user is going to be granted access to the file, which particular templates are going to be used from within your rights management environment to apply to that file. And you can set some very useful additional protections, like being able to set expiry. So you can say, we're going to expire the document after X length of time. You can also say that you want to receive an email so that you can track everything that happens to that document, including if they're going to forward that on to people and other people are going to try and potentially access it, whereabouts are they going to get denied access to it from. And then we can also allow the ability to instantly revoke the document or do the remote kill if that is something that you need to be able to do. So all of those are just checkboxes within the, frankly, very user-friendly share protected workflow. When that actually happens, you'll start to see that the emails start to flow back into the sender's inbox so that they start to know exactly who's actually exercising rights over their files and when. Can be very useful because it'll allow you to see how many times somebody is going into a document. Could also be incredibly useful if you just want to know that somebody has read something when you've emailed it to them. So it's actually a useful feature for more, again, than just being able to protect the information. But of course, there might be times where you need to protect in slightly different ways as well. So inside of Office 2010 and Office 2013, as you're creating a document, you can go ahead and use the share protected workflow from within those documents as well. But we can then also do things like when somebody saves that document onto a particular file server, we can use DAC and FCI in order to be able to automatically protect it. It could be that they've created the file, they're no longer in the Outlook or Office application, and they want to use the Windows Shell extension in order to be able to go and protect those files again. So there's plenty of different options for whatever workflow somebody is using. And of course, inside of Office 365, there's the policy-driven workflows around data loss protection. So we can actually set up rules that require that messages that are sent outside of the organization will be automatically protected by rights management. And then we can also see, hey, there's information inside of that, inside of the email that the that needs to be inspected to allow access to that policy. So let's take a quick look at actually doing some of this inside of our environment over here. It just switches across to a user's PC. In this case, I'm signed on as a user called Laurie, and Laurie is looking at her documents folder, and we can see a few things that are in place just there. Firstly, we have a document which has been already been protected in place. So let's just pull this across so we can see all the details. So firstly, we have our protected in place document just here. Oops, where's that gone? Yeah, mouse has just decided to go slightly AWOL on me there. So we have our protected in place document. Now you can see that that document is actually, it's an empty document, but it's jumped up to 100K. That's because the file has been protected by RMS. If I see this this second document just here, the document that contains very sensitive information but hasn't been protected, I'll open that up inside of Word. And for those observant folks out there, you'll see that the Share Protected button has also appeared inside here. So I can now go ahead and click Share Protected. And that will then discover the files, find access to them. And now I can say that I want to share this with somebody else. I'm going to share this with Alice. And I only want Alice to be able to view the file, but I could scroll down here and actually select a couple of my company templates, my confidential or view only. In this case, I'm going to just lock this down so that only Alice is able to view this file. I'm going to require that I see every time she's entered the document, and that I want to instantly be able to revoke access to the documents. And we'll look at document revocation in a little bit later on in another module. If I now hit send, that's going to turn this into an email inside of Outlook. Obviously, I'm using Office from my Office 365 subscription, so I'm going to have Outlook on my machine as well, so it's going to use that as the mail client. And in just a second, when it opens up my email window, what we're going to see is the sidecar feature that Dan was talking about a little earlier on. We're actually going to see that there's two documents being created here. We'll see that the first one is this document around the document that contains very sensitive information as a docx, and then we'll see the PPDF, the protected PDF file, which has been created alongside that document, all inside of the same email. So I'm going to hit send and send that to Alice. And hopefully in just a second, that email is going to get created and sent over to Alice for review. Actually, it's asking me to just sign on over here as well. Okay, so we've sent that document to Alice. Now, if we look at that file, it actually hasn't changed size because we haven't protected that file in place. We actually just shared it in a protected way. What I could also do is protect the file in place, thus actually putting the RMS protection into the file itself. So if I just right click and that'll bring up the Windows UI, I can then go ahead and select that I want to protect in place, and I can provide either one of the company templates which has been brought down from Azure RMS, or I can provide my own custom permissions. In this case, I'm going to put the fake URLco confidential view only template in place. And that's going to start off the in-place protection workflow. And now if we have a quick look at the size of that file, we'll see that it's jumped up in size a little bit because the protections have been applied, moved from 12K to 92K. And if we just go into the file itself, we'll see that permissions have been applied to the file so that it can only be viewed by people that are actually enrolled into the fake URL co environment. So very, very helpful for being able to do that. And it doesn't require the user to know a particularly large amount about the protections that have been put in place by her organization, just that she knows that this is going to be confidential and she only wants people to be able to view it and not change it. So I can also go ahead and actually remove that protection as well directly from here. So I'll go ahead and do protect in place and we'll remove that protection. But of course, once that file has been protected in place, we can move that file anywhere and the protections will apply. So I could, as a user, upload that to my cloud sharing account and I'd actually be able to open that on my home PC. And as long as I could actually authenticate back into Azure AD, I would be allowed access to the file. Okay, so let's go and have a look at how things appear from our other users' side here. I'll have a quick look at how things appear for Alice. I'm just going to open up Outlook so that the email that we created gets sent. Take it a couple of seconds to load. Let's type her password in again. Okay. And we'll hit send and receive. Just going to do that a couple of times to make sure the email gets sent. So I'm going to go across to Alice's PC now. And Alice was the recipient of the email that that Laurie just created. She's signing into her PC as administrator. And you can see that she's already signed into her Office 365 account on her home PC using her Office 365 home use rights. So close down Word. And we can see that Laurie has just sent through another protected shared file. In this case, I'm inside of the Outlook web app, but I'll just go ahead and download this file to my local machine. And we'll say open. Now at this point, obviously, I've already authenticated Word to Office 365 using my Azure AD credentials. And it's going to open up in protected view. And instantly, we see that the document has retained those permissions, those rights management permissions. And if we go into view permission, we'll see that exactly the details of what can be applied by this template. We can view it, we can edit it, and we can't print or copy the information inside of the document. So it's given us all of the permissions that we applied through the template inside of Laurie's PC on premises. So that's kind of one of the sets of workflows that a user would typically go through. Now, in order to configure that workflow, you've actually had to do virtually nothing as the IT person that's configured the environment. Maybe you set up a few templates in order to make that work. So when we start to think about multiple devices, we get a very similar workflow on mobile devices such as an iPad. We'll start to see the emails appear inside of the mail client there. Again, we'll see both the original protected document and we'll see the sidecar file there. And then when we attempt to open one of those documents, the managed open in feature on an iPad will actually come around and say, hey, what applications do you want to open this in? The RMS sharing application will be one of the applications that can be used to open the file. And then we'll be able to view those files inside of the RMS sharing application, assuming, of course, that the user has the sharing application on their device, which if you go back to episode 2 of this Jumpstart series, you'll see how to deploy that application using Microsoft Intune. Okay, so the growing ecosystem that's out there. There's more to rights management than just Office, and in fact, actually, there's more to it than just protecting files that are stored on the file system. A lot of work has been done in order to connect up with various organizations that have built their applications to share information. So Dan mentioned earlier around J2Go. That's an application from Siemens, which is very heavily used inside of engineering organizations in order to share diagrams like this one, very detailed engineering diagrams. But actually, rights management implementation there allows us to be able to control what's going to happen inside of the application. The same kind of thing, as Dan mentioned, with Secured, with being able to protect information coming out of SAP. A very, very easy workflow that just happens from an end user's point of view with Secured. The information is pulled down, say, into an Excel spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet is automatically protected by Secured upon bringing the information in. So again, it feels like there's virtually no work for the end user to have to do. There's a couple of RMS enlightened mail clients out there, such as the Titus mail client, which is available for iOS. So in this particular case, you can see a protected workflow running through the various screens inside of that particular application, allowing us to protect actual emails as they're moving around various different environments. And the Titus application also includes the ability to, within their container, actually open up RMS protected files as well. So that can be incredibly helpful. One of the things that can also be useful is the ability to just simplify some of the UI for folks around what levels of protection they could apply. So we've made it pretty simple with the templating approach, but it might also be easier to have kind of a step ladder type of approach, moving from not very much protection to as much protection as possible. And that's one of the places where the plugins from Watchful can come into place and help you to do maybe slightly more user-friendly integration into Office. GigaTrust have also worked on the ability to provide protections inside of their applications. And in fact, there's a whole list of other folks who have actually been working to bring RMS into their applications. So if you're working with any of these different vendors, then you'll find that lots of their applications have got some RMS protections in there. But if you don't have RMS protection in some of the applications that you really need access to, then it's time to start pushing those folks to actually start building those protections into their platforms. One of the interesting ones on this screen, which we don't have any of the screenshots for, we were going to show it, but it's a little bit tricky, is around Foxit. And Foxit have actually built in a very nice piece of protection into their PDF viewer, which allows you to do data redaction. So there's a very interesting use case there for certain verticals as well. So that brings us to the end of our second module. We've seen some of the workflows that have been in place, and we've got a bunch of resources here for you to use to go into even more detail on some of those protections that we've gone through. In this module, we actually had a look at some of those protected workflows. We had a very quick look at some of the industry-specific use cases, and we delved deeper into that demo around how we actually went through protecting and sharing files. So join us for the next module, where we're going to dive a little bit deeper into templates.